that's how it goes.
That's how it goes when you're fucking these hoes. E-I-E-I-O. With a here and a there.
Got it.
That's my favorite bit of ours, just talking about finding yourself a nice porky lady. Just a big old sloppy monster. Just with an upturned nose and big round hip. You put him in the back of your truck. Put him in the back of your truck and you place a first place ribbon on him.
That's gross, dude.
Drive him around the county and say, look what I got here. Looky here what I found. Come on, squeal for me, girl.
Jesus. That's not cool.
Squeal for me, piggy.
That ain't right. It's just simply not right.
I apologize. I take it all back. I didn't mean any of it.
He takes it all back. Well,
what you have to understand about men is that men actually, it's not abundantly clear to me that every man doesn't want a giant, big, fat woman.
There's 2 inches away from the standard deviation of a fat bitch.
She needs to be about 3 standard deviations from the norm in weight. And right when she gets to about a 70% BMI, that's when a guy actually wants to have sex with her.
It's sad that the, like...
You put her in the back of your truck, you drive her around, you say, oink for me, piggy.
One of the most meaningful characters ever in the history of my life. If I ever met him in real life, I'd just be like, oh, it's really nice to meet you. It's like, God, man, why am I such a piece of shit? It'd be nice to not be a piece of shit every once in a while.
Oh, wow. It's nice to meet you there, big guy. Have you misgendered any nice men in dresses this day? Walked up to him, be like, hey, oh, yeah, I don't really fucking care. You got a fucking mustache. You're a fucking man. It's just a woman with a goatee. She's like, I haven't shaved this week.
Have you ever heard him talk about like when I was 6 years old or it's like when he's in high school, he says that he was like 120 pounds.
Yeah. Like, he couldn't bench press 70 pounds.
Yeah. He said he was drinking every day.
This was in college. Yeah. This was in college.
Pounds. And yeah. He said that he used to wear a cape.
Wait, he wore a cape?
He said he used to wear a cape around.
It's so funny that people have made him like the epitome of masculinity. Like people are looking up to them as their masculine scion, like the person that they, they addressed all their
could not be farther from the truth.
Unrequited sexual advances, and they look at him and they go, "Okay, this is the guy who's going to help me become an alpha male." And he's like, "Oh, when I was about 25 years old, I couldn't even bench press 45 pounds." The bar, I'd be stuck underneath the bar and men would walk over to me and they'd be like, you need some help there, big guy. And oh yeah, you want to talk about embarrassing. That's called living in bloody hell.
Yes.
I was in bloody hell.
He also like, talks
what kind of life do so you want to lead?
About how he has a female temperament. Like he talks about that all the time. And they're like, this is the path.
This is the path to masculinity. Yeah, I think there's a real problem in this country where the men have all been psyoped by theater kids into what masculinity should look like. So
yeah,
you got a lot of theater kids that are in charge of the male zeitgeist right now.
Yeah, I mean, I was telling you the other day, by the time our kids are older, it's going to be totally lame to play sports. You're going to it's going to be so de-emphasized.
Yeah, well, that's a real problem with the devouring mother is because the devouring mother looks at things like football and she goes, oh, no, I can't have my kid playing football. He might get hurt out there. And once the devouring mother becomes the primary psychopathy of your culture, then really what you're going to have is you're going to have men who can't bench press 45 pounds. And yeah, okay, yeah, I can't bench press 45 pounds. But I've got a hot fucking daughter, so what are you going to do about it?
His daughter is so hot. I never know
so hot and what so it is. Stupid. My mom literally called me and she was like, have you seen Michaela Peterson? And I was like, yeah. And mom, she was like, Have you heard her talk? And I was like, yeah. And she goes, she's the dumbest person I've ever heard.
Really? She thinks she's a silly, your mom thinks she's a silly bitch?
Have you heard her talk? She's so stupid. People will be like explaining things to her about, like, you know, Israel and Hamas. And she'll just be like, oh, yeah, I only eat meat.
Well, my thing is, like, why does the bar need to be high for Michaela Peterson? She's hot and she's smart enough.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a real problem with hot girls that also want to be smart. I think that that's probably has a lot to do with there's like a weird movement in feminism where they don't just want to like have girls be equal to men. They want to be men, but then they still want all of the
they want the perks of the role of a woman. Perks of
being a woman. Yeah, but they want all of the opportunities of being a man. So yeah, like they want to be like really smart and considered intelligent and like be at the top of their business stratus. And like all of that's probably I mean, all of that stuff already is happening. It's not like that women aren't smart, but then you can't also be like, oh yeah, what's most important to me is being the fucking, I want to walk in here with a cock. I want to show you my big fucking cock. I'm a pretty lady. Why don't you come here and suck my cock? I mean, that's what they're going to be doing. Like, at some point, we're going to have a Harvey Weinstein type of woman. Like, acting like that doesn't exist. Of course that exists. You know, just like some big, disgusting fat woman who's, like, the head of, you know, she's going to be the head of, like, Hewlett-Packard or some shit. Yeah. And she's going to make guys come in and just, like, they're not even going to have sex with her. They're just going to have to sniff her bush.
Well, like, a lot of it's not even their fault. Like they didn't ask for like society has been set up in a way where it's like, hey, you could be everything. You could have it all.
Yeah. Well, they got told that they could be everything. And then no one paid attention to men for about 40 years. And so the women became everything. And now they are, like, I was reading this article from 2009. So this is old, but they are 54% of upper management roles now. They are 70% of college graduates. They're receiving like 80% of higher degrees. So like graduate degrees, like master's degrees and that kind of shit. They're like 60% in every industry, except I think code, like high level coding, which like they'll probably take over that at some point too, but maybe not. Maybe the male brain is just uniquely qualified for that.
There's engineering too that they don't.
Yeah, it was engineering and software engineering. Those were the only two industries that women weren't dominant in at this point. And so like all of these women got told they could be anything. So they were like, okay, well, we're just going to be men. But then they thought that by becoming powerful in their career, that men would be attracted to them. And the exact opposite happened. So like a man gets powerful and they have their choice of mates. But now women have become powerful. And they want to date somebody at their status level, but they can't find a man who will date them because the men have lost all the jobs. So then the very few men that retain those jobs, they have their pick of any woman, and they're not going to, why would they pick somebody like, also, no, I'm just going to pick someone who's hot.
Have you ever, like, the type of guy who cares about how much a girl makes is such like,
it's AOC's boyfriend.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's so a freaking just pussified fucking character anyway.
Like redheaded commie weenie. That's what I call him.
That's what you call AOC's boyfriend? You like AOC a lot though. You think AOC's hot.
She is hot.
She is.
Well, here's the thing though. I don't even remember how she actually looks. The only thing I remember is the AI generated images of her, which I mean, we got to get rid of that because you want to talk about an uncanny valley.
Yeah, it's annoying.
AI generated images are, I mean, it makes you just like, you can't think regular women are hot if you see that enough.
Videos coming too, to where they're just going to be able to render whatever on someone's face and it's going to sound like them. It's going to be like a full blown Pornhub video, but it's just going to be AOC rendered on top of another chick.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's why Gen Z is, like, we keep calling them gay, like, as a joke. But, like, I think they're going to actually all be gay because like they're not having any sex, and so they're watching so much porn that like when you see that amount of sex, it's like the rock star thing, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, are rock stars actually gay, or have they had sex with so many women that they had to ratchet the stakes up? You know,
I know what you mean.
Right. Like, so like Mick Jagger, everyone's like, oh yeah, Mick Jagger would have orgies. Like, that's kind of gay. It's like, I don't know. I think Mick Jagger probably saw so much puss that at some point he was like, let's get Keith in here.
I think that's like the aristocracy, like crazy fucking Eyes Wide Shut parties stuff too. It's like, they've done it all. So what? I just,
now you got to enter something taboo.
To me though, like, I don't know. A wet hole's not good. I shouldn't say it that way.
Oh. I remember my ex one time was like,
a warm pocket wallet's not enough for you. I mean,
orc pocket wallet.
A warm pocket wallet, not an orc pocket wallet. Jesus Christ.
That sweet, sweet clam mitten.
Yeah, that's not enough. Why isn't that enough? I guess I just, you know what that makes me skeptical of too, if that's not enough?
This girl said to me one time, she was like, I'm just a hole to you. And I was like, no, sweetie, you're three holes. No?
I don't know.
I thought this was a comedy podcast. My bad. I didn't realize.
Yeah, it is. But, I mean,
what is happening right now? Oh, yeah. You just did pork mitten for like 3 minutes. I didn't make that face at you at any point.
I didn't use pork mitten, but I wish I did.
You called it a pork mitten.
No, I said I called it a, it was a warm flesh wallet, I think I called it.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's better.
But
yeah, my bad. All right. Yeah, sorry.
But like, it makes me feel like that, like, I don't get why that's not enough. Why is that not enough? Why do you need, well, because like, it makes me think the rest of your life, like, okay, I think if you have meaningful friendships and like something to do with your time and you're working at something.
Okay. They don't have that right now.
Yeah, but if like, it's like your sexual perversions bleed in when there's nothing to keep them at bay. Like you have nothing else going on. So you're just like, you know,
like they were raised with no religion. They've been completely isolated from communities because they live in suburbs now and they aren't allowed to see their friends because of COVID. So during their formative years when they were supposed to be going out drinking and driving, you're not allowed to drink and drive anymore.
You know, my youngest brother didn't get to go to prom.
Right. So Carter doesn't go to prom. He's not allowed to drink and drive. You can't throw a kegger anymore because they'll fucking charge the parents with neglect. So you can't even have a house party. You're not allowed to go outside between the ages of like 9 and 14 because they're afraid you're going to get kidnapped.
Which are like, that's the outside years.
That's the outside years. So now you have no meaningful relationships outside of sex. Then the relationships you have with like your girlfriend, you don't have a car anymore because they're not getting their fucking driver's license until they're 21. A lot of people are going to school online. A lot of people are commuting to school now, higher than ever before.
Don't you think this is just like a shift? Things will recalibrate and then people will start banging again?
No, I think we're all going to be watching tranny porn.
Dude, that's got to stop, man. Okay, first of all, not to get all aggro about this, but I mean,
don't get aggro. Hey, I'm fucking for real right now. If you get pissed off about tranny porn.
Everyone has this experience where they follow pages. Like, I follow, like, you know, cop dash cam page. And then I'll follow, like, you know, dangerous jobs page. And then I'll follow
big fat tranny cocks in my mouth page.
a vice page where it's just a vice clamping down on stuff and a hole gets drilled through it. So it's whatever. That's it.
Oh, yeah, it sounds like me and your mom last night.
And then, right, and then on those pages.
Yo, shout out Markal, dude. That was for you, buddy. Fucking and then, big on those pages, bitch.
I'll have there'll be 60 fucking cop videos in a row, and then the 61, it's some fucking little trans twink with a link to their OnlyFans.
Yeah,
it's like, how did these pages get co-opted by the grossest?
They sell them. That's like a business model. You get a bunch of followers, you get to like 5,000 followers, and then you can sell the page to like, you know, some dude in a dress, a Thai lady boy.
Gator Tails fucking and Thursday Lines and those.
They didn't get them yet.
They don't. They won't do it, and they have a huge audience. Oh man,
they have a huge podcast.
They have a huge audience.
Oh yeah,
this is their podcast.
I've sent them clips of the podcast before.
Did they like it?
They just liked it in the message.
Yeah, cunts.
I know. They didn't fucking repost it. But anyways, point to your point, those trans videos, they keep trying to hit, they'll hit you with those. You'll be like, you know, scrolling through, and then it's like always like, oh, do you like this? And it's just the hottest woman you've ever seen with like big tits. But weirdly, every time with a ladyboy, the hips aren't right. You can almost tell immediately that they're too up and down and that there's no curvature to the hips, because like it's not even the ass, because they get the Brazilian butt lifts. It's the hips don't widen. You know what I mean?
Hands and feet too.
So we'll jump into that after. Put a pin in that. But they'll just be showing you their big tits, you know, and like a like perfectly scientifically engineered face with a filter on it. And then they're like, well, I got news for you. If you like this, then you like, you're into trans women. And you're like, oh yeah, that's a trans woman. You're telling me that's a trans woman. Why am I covered in my own cum if that's a trans woman? Why is there cum coming out of my ears if that's a trans woman? You think I don't know what a hot woman looks like? My room is dripping with cum. You're telling me that's a trans woman? Yeah, okay. That's what I say to those pages. Oh yeah, okay, that's a trans woman. Okay, yeah, I got jizz dripping out of my eardrums right now. You're telling me that's a trans woman? Yeah,
it is a weird thing that they have, like I don't get the interest in selling that. Like they really want to sell, hey, come check out this he/she thing. And
wait, who's selling it?
In Instagram, it's like. It's leaked on, because like I did a, every guy who has any self-respect, eventually like you like let too many like whore pages into your ecosystem, and then like
I have no whore pages in my ecosystem right now.
Well, right now, yeah. Well, that's because you did what I was gonna say, which is you go through great purge, and you
Or you just have like a crazy girl that you're dating that goes through every single account that you're following and sends them back to you and is like, Jesus. Why are you following these? Why are you following these? Which, you know,
I'd say, why do you have so much time?
Yeah. Well, she's a powerful girl boss.
I guess she's just like running a fucking query on your like.
She's making an Excel format of all the pages that I follow, and it would be like. You know, okay, fair. Maybe that's fair. Okay, maybe, or maybe it's not fair. or side note, maybe not fair. I think the trans thing, I don't think it's like so now my entire algorithm, instead of hot trans, so-called trans women, which by the way are just the hottest chicks you've ever seen, instead of that, it's just like all sad poems. Like Instagram can tell that I'm going through a breakup, so like every single thing that it sends me will just be like, here's, she's definitely thinking about you, are you thinking about her? Or like, here's what Dostoevsky, she said I love you, but here's what Dostoevsky said about love. And then it'll be like, seven reasons why your cock's too small to get your ex back. And I'm just like, why is the algorithm doing this to me?
That's disgusting. It needs to be purged.
It's all like, your penis is too small. You need to tie it to a door handle. Close the door. Here's seven exercises you could do to make your sack bigger. Studies show that big fat sacks never get broken up with.
Yes, you're joking ads?
Yeah. I bought one of them.
One time I remember I was at like a party and I was young. I was like in my early 20s. And there was guys talking about I don't remember who specifically was talking about it, but they were talking about dick joking. And lobster pills and surgery.
Oh. Yeah.
And I was like, you could just jilk. And like, I said it casually, like, it was no big deal. And like 17 people turned and looked at me like, what the fuck is that? And then I was like, you know,
wait, when did you jelk? Have you jelked?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Did it work?
I mean, what do you want me to show you? I mean,
Yeah, kinda. I didn't know what it was, so I fucking clicked one of the links and it took you to like a page about, not even a page. It took you to like, they sent me like an email with a like a closed YouTube link to watch the jelking, and it was just a guy borderline beating off, and I was like, what the fuck?
Borderline beating off.
How far have I fallen?
You know what it's like? It's like when you got a good bicep pump going.
Yeah.
And you can barely do a full rep.
Uh-huh.
But you're just trying to pump blood to expand capillaries in space.
Yeah.
You're doing that with your with your flesh rocket.
With your little red
But
pistol.
You can't do it fully wrecked. That's the dance.
No, 70%. That's what he told me.
Not even. I wouldn't even do it 70%.
50%.
Because I'm not a fucking animal.
I jelked for a little bit, and then it started giving my penis a little bit of a curve, and it's like, you know, I mean, how big does it need to be?
It is funny that, like, what, like, 99% of women want is, like...
3 inches. That's what all of them say to me.
It's like...
they say, oh, three, this is perfect. This is the perfect size.
It's just such a funny relationship that, like, every chick is like, yeah, 5-6 inches, That's great. That sounds great. And every guy's like, I want a foot long dick. It's like, they could not be less about the chick. It's just like, I just want something.
Men and women, the more I think about it, we were never on the same page. At the end of the day, crazy, I keep thinking it's this big societal shift. We're just not on the same page at all.
And like, I mean, when you're a kid,
first it was guys wanted 12 inch penises. Now, fast forward to 2024, women want 12 inch penises. They don't even want their boyfriend to have a 12 inch penis. They want their own 12 inch penis.
What's crazy too is like when you're a kid, and like you hear somebody banged your chick or something, or somebody banged the girl that you're starting to bang before you or whatever, and you're like, you know, like wonder what they were packing in comparison to me, you know? And then like in all reality, it's like even if that was like a 0.6 inch difference, that would just be so devastating to you.
Yeah.
And it's 100%. and it's like what a hilarious thing that the girl like doesn't even notice. Every single girl has, I feel like they view it as like, you got a small mid-size. They view it like cars, you know? It's like there's a two-seat coupe, there's a four-door family car, and there's a Suburban. And like those are their
That's weird. Where does smart car fit into that? That's what I got a smart car in my pants.
Yeah, and I guess you could, there's people out there with school buses theoretically, but I mean,
I'm joking, by the way. If anyone's wondering, they want to talk shit online, I'll send it to you. It's a school bus. All right, but this is for fun. This is a joke. I'll put my penis on the internet.
But like,
do not joke. Seriously, my mother listens to this podcast. Mom, it's a school bus. Don't worry.
But like that's how women are viewing it, and guys are viewing it like,
I have to cut that. I can't leave that in. My mom texts me like, what? guys are viewing it how? Keep going. Sorry.
Hold on. Guys are viewing it like, you know, they're doing fucking what's it called?
They're talking about jelking at parties.
Well, yeah, the guys are fucking, every centimeter counts. Yeah. And it's like, no, that's just a fucking four-door family car, dude. It's like, doesn't matter if it's a Buick or a fucking like Hyundai, it's the same fucking vehicle. Trust
me, I've seen the forums. People don't want Hyundais. They don't want Hyundais, they don't want Toyotas. That's what I've heard.
I'm gonna go get some coffee, but I gotta tell you about this rodeo shit I saw yesterday.
Okay.
I mean, dear God.
I'll take a piss. I just fixed my toilet. By the way, if anyone's listening to this podcast and you guys need plumbing done, I can do your plumbing.
I wouldn't trust it.
To your point about the, you know, what kind of car do they want? The only thing they definitely want, every car has to be, it's convertible. If that bad boy's got a hard top, they're out.
Yeah.
Woman you talk to is just like, yeah, I saw one time. It looked like a fucking earthworm coming out of a sleeve.
My wife gets like viscerally disgusted by it.
Wait, why is she seeing them?
I'm gonna just back out of that.
What the fuck?
She says she'd seen one before in her day.
I remember we had this conversation at Jack's Beach one time. I forget who was all there, but at some point, might have been Kath. Some girl goes, yeah, you know, like most of the men in Europe are uncircumcised. And I was like, the fuck were you doing in Europe?
And how much cock did you see over there?
Most. What do you mean most? How big was your sample size? God damn it. Fucking gross, dude. And women are like, don't worry, I have a great career. And it's like, no, I just didn't want you to go to Europe and suck off half the continent of France. That was it. That was the only thing. It was just don't blow half of Europe. And they were like, yeah, but I make $120,000 a year. It's like, who cares?
Yeah, I hear you. I mean,
also, I don't. I feel like it's bullshit for you to talk about, you know, being worried about like your girl's exes, because like point of privilege. You out for a point of privilege. your wife's ex. I watched him open mouth kiss another man.
I don't know
at your wedding. At your wedding, full blown, open mouth, like with tongue, and you're like, oh yeah, you don't have to worry about your wife's exes. Oh yeah, you don't. Yeah, I'm sure you don't.
I don't think that's true, but you know, I mean, it's
what are you talking about? I had that Irish gypsy woman explain it to you. Listen,
Irish gypsy women aren't necessarily the oracles of truth.
They actually lie about everything. They also tried to steal my phone that night. But
okay, so I mean,
just for all of our listeners in Germany, which by the way, our number one, we are no longer our number one people, or it's no longer Thailand. I think we're a full blown German podcast.
The Germans.
Yes, the Germans love us, yeah. But point of privilege, we're watching. I'm sitting next to this Irish woman, and your wife's ex walks up. I'm not going to say who he kissed, walks up, fucking open mouth kisses another man. And I looked at her, I was like, did you just see that? And she's like, oh, it'd be hard not to see it. I just saw two men absolutely make out in front of me. And I'm like, you have to tell everyone about this. And then I took like 20 minutes going around to grabbing people from the wedding party and bringing it to this fat Irish gypsy woman. And she's like, yeah, the two are fucking out there trying to like pig out the darns and the beast and they're hatching them out. And everyone's like, what'd she say? What did she just say? She's like, oh, what I mean? I just say
that. Let's also be fair, right? Because you drank 77 beers and you're bringing around a woman who, the way that she left the party, she just burst into a puff of white smoke and vanished.
Yeah.
So I don't know how credible of a...
Listen, some people hear that and they go, this guy's got a drinking problem. And I don't have a drinking problem. I have a patriot problem. Because I told the Irish we can drink more than them, and they said that's impossible.
Which, by the way, we can.
I said, give me every Coors Light you have. And they were like, it's 32 Coors Lights. I can't drink all of them. And I was like, oh, line them up. I'm going to drink every single one of these.
It's crazy how if America sends our best, whatever it is, it could be any. It's crazy how anything it could be. We could be barely competent in it as a country, but if we send our 10 best dogs, we compete at everything.
Yeah. The only people that can drink with us are the Australians, because I was at a wedding one time in Texas, and we were at like this like weird hoedown thing. It was kind of like cool. And my girlfriend, her best friend, who's also my friend, she brought her, she had met her husband in Hong Kong because he was an Australian rugby player.
Hong Kong.
And Hong Kong. And she brought him and was like, she had to go do bridal stuff. And so she just brought him to me and she was like, hey, I need you guys to hang out all night, 'cause I can't hang out with him. Like, but I think you guys are going to like each other. And I like looked him up and down. I was like, what's up, man? And he was like, how you doing? And I was like, fucking, I handed him a pitcher and I took a pitcher and we cheers. And I said, I'm going to drink this right in front of your fucking face. And then we both chugged them down to the bottom and we put them down. And this guy walks up and goes, hey, were those my pitchers? And the Australian guy looks at me and is like, oh, fuck yeah, mate. We're going to have a time. And we fucking high five. We just, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a prison colony. I mean, yeah.
Good move, though, to steal somebody else's pitchers and take credit for that.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about this the other day when we were hanging out last weekend, how we probably do have a drinking problem, because we drank so many beers, and you kind of start to see the friends around you get hammered. Like, they start to fall off kind of one by one into the booze runoff. And you're looking at them, and I'm like, man, I feel fine. Yeah. And I'm drinking way more than you. And I can see how shit-faced your face is. That's like when I feel kind of shitty about myself. When I'm like, wow, I should be more drunk.
That's okay. Well, first of all, you're comparing yourself to Gabe, who doesn't know what a cover three defense is, and Dave, who also doesn't know what a cover three defense is, even though he played college football. And then, you know, shout out Joey Avery. And that's who you're comparing us to, was those three. That was when I was like, that's not when I thought we had a drinking problem. My thought was, after we were four pitchers in, no one else had drank any of the other beers. And then at 3 a.m., the bartender was shouting over the bar, you guys have to leave. And we were practicing single leg takedowns in the middle of the bar.
Yeah, which, by the way,
that was more the drinking problem. Huh?
You got slammed, huh?
I was slammed, dude. I got cocky.
As your friend, I mean, top three most disappointed I've ever been in you. Dude, got folded up into a corner like a little fucking hamster.
No, I didn't. I threw a teep kick because I thought we were fucking around. And somebody, you know, it's classic. Oh, I'm going 50. Someone else is going 150. But I came up on the double as soon as I hit the deck. So I would have still won that exchange.
You need a roadmap to show how you would have won that exchange. You really need to sell.
I had his legs wrapped up. I was pulling him. I was taking him down. That was going to be a full blown reversal.
We can move on. There's no reason to, like, you know, stay on this. That's
bullshit, dude. You're making the Germans respect me less. I may have been taken down, but I was in full guard, and I would have absolutely come out of that on top.
Speaking of the Germans and getting taken down, I feel like, okay, so I go to this rodeo. I feel like the Germans would really get in on a rodeo. I don't know why, but it seems like it's very culturally up their lane. It's like violent. It's communal. You're selling livestock. But
I think that's the part they would like. I think the Irish are the ones riding the horses and the bulls, and the Germans are the ones making some money in the back.
Yeah, the farm. Yeah. Well, I watched a guy die, and I'm not sure if he's dead, but there's 3,000 people there, and it's mostly, like, you know, kids and families. And
they're doing this in Miami?
In Miami. And this dude gets...
What's the demo look like there? What's the crowd look like?
So Miami has an area called Homestead that's south of the city, which is all farm.
Change that name. You know what I mean? Hey, just real quick, shout out to Homestead, Florida, and Plantation, Florida. We can move on.
Yeah. Well, tradition, but they're pretty country down there. It's all farms and a lot of, you know, backwater type shit going on.
That's so, when you hear like Antonio Brown talk about getting faster. He's like, yeah, you should just chase a rabbit around. And
yeah,
like, where the fuck is that happening?
That's Pahokee and Loxahatcha and stuff. Yeah. That's like a little farther north, but the same exact type of community.
Lake so Lake, like that was that football program that ruled up there.
It's like Cuban rednecks is what the demo is there.
Yeah.
So good people. So like we're ripping it, watching it, and they're doing Bronco Rodeo, so it's like a horse, not a bull. And I think that that's much more dangerous because I don't know if you've ever watched it, but like the bull, it's like if you get flung off, you're getting flung off, and then like that's it. The horse, the repetitions of the bucking is so quick that you get bucked once, and then while you're already bucked off the horse will buck you again and send you into the fucking sky.
And they kick.
Exactly. So this guy gets sent into the sky, and he's coming down where the ass of the horse is, and the horse bucks again and kicks this guy right in the fucking chest, face, and neck. Like, fucking flatlines this dude. And then the horse runs off, and the guy is just motionless. So then there the whole time the announcers, which by the way, like, do you think that like Dana White is a bad guy for wheeling out
Matt fighters Hughes.
And paying him a few thousand bucks? The level of that kind of like unfair pay thing at the rodeo is fucking in the air. I mean, you can feel it. These guys are risking their life and they're getting $600, and you just know for a fact. And the guy's like, well, that's what he signs up for. Signs on the dotted line to ride the
That's bull. What they signed up for.
Yeah. Everyone here knows they could die every ride, and that's why they do it. We couldn't be happier for about it. And like,
give him a round of applause, sending him to horse Valhalla.
That's literally what's going on. And then everyone in the audience is like, and they're, while this is happening, paramedics rush in trying to get him on the stretcher as fast as they can. And the announcer immediately
What kind of ambulance do they use? Do they have a horse and buggy ambulance too?
No, they had like a little, it was basically like a souped up golf cart. It was fucking not.
That'd be kind of funny if they just had a horse pull them off. They had like two horses with like a siren on each of their heads.
So then he's already like setting up the next guy to come in.
Yeah.
And as the guy goes out, he goes, I know our man Cody's as tough as nails. I'm sure he can give the audience a thumbs up on the way out. And the guy lays completely still in lifeless as they wheel him out.
Yeah.
And everyone's like waiting for the thumbs up. No one claps. And then he's like, all right, let's hear it for Cody. And then there's like 18 people
A rodeo clown comes out and like moons the audience.
And then I watched this golf cart fucking take this guy away into the back and load him into an ambulance, and the dude did not move a fucking muscle the whole trip. So,
yeah, he's probably paralyzed from the neck down.
I'm really
kicked by a horse.
I'm just so interested in the fact that like they're trying to make the NFL safer or whatever.
Yeah.
But you can go on a Sunday afternoon and watch an 18-year-old get kicked in the face by a horse.
Fuck that. You can go get kicked in the face by a horse. You go on one of those horse rides? I went on a horse ride one time, and it was funny because I was just down on our Myrtle Beach golf trip with all the fucking – with all the boys. Shout out, Neil. Shout out, Brandon. Shout out, Clay. And I was talking to my buddy, Brett, who –
All made up people.
None of those are real. They were all in my head. They had this dude, one of our friends now sells horses. That's what he does. You know, down there in Stafford, out where my brother's at.
Yeah, I have a lot of money to do that.
I guess apparently it's the family business. But yeah, apparently a horse is $11,000. And then you get a few of them, and then all of a sudden you're moving weight. But
it's like $100,000 to take care of one a year with like food and housing shit.
I gotta ask about that. Fucking, I didn't think it was that expensive.
It's a rich guy. It's a rich guy thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, he's white trash, so I don't know if that's, you know, if they're like that. They might just have the horses feed out of like the local Walmart. Like they might just bring them down the snack aisle and let them fucking eat out of the Doritos. But that'd be a funny sketch, by the way. Like guy who's trying to like do horse, like breed horses on a budget, and he just has to keep going to like public parks to feed them. and be like, this is our land. This is American land right here. I pay my taxes. Like those guys in Oregon who are like fighting over Bureau of Land Management land. But anyways, he was like, let me come down and ride a horse. And he goes, I don't know, man. You're a big son of a bitch. I'd have to get a big fucking horse for you. And he was like, honestly, anytime somebody that's like over 6'3 comes down and wants to ride a horse, we just give them the biggest horse, and all those horses are assholes. So I don't know if you'd want to do that. And it reminded me of this time I took Julie. We went on this like fucking midnight horse ride, and he would like take the horses and like go through the mountains and shit. And right as I got there, this woman looked at me and she's like, you ever ride a horse? And I was like, no, ma'am. And she was like, all right, well, that's too bad, because you're too big for the regular horses, so I'm going to give you this one. And I'll be honest with you, he doesn't listen to anybody, so have fun. And just puts me on the fucking horse. And sure as shit, like 2 seconds into this thing, you're all in a line. There's like eight people, and you're in a line with the horses, and it's following the guides. And my horse keeps biting Julie's horse like an asshole. He keeps like walking up and biting it, nipping it.
Yeah, it doesn't have to worry about anything.
The other horse like gets pissed and kicks back. And like, I'm right there. Could have kicked me, broke my, would have shattered my leg into a million pieces with how hard he kicked it. He kicked him right in the face. And it sounded, Jake, it sounded like a lightning bolt hit. People like looked around like, what the fuck was that? And the horse just shook his head and then was like, what the fuck? And then just took off. And I was on the back of it, and it was just like, fuck this. And just started walking away. And I'm like, nay, nay. And he was like, fuck you, dude. And just like wait for a walk like somewhere else. I just couldn't move him. I'm like trying to get him to come back.
It's crazy how, because wolves will just like, they'll wear shit down by coming up behind it and fucking biting the back legs.
Yeah.
The horses have just evolved to be able to fucking shotgun shell everything behind them. Dude,
like an actual piston in a.
There was like a line of cops on horseback, like six of them. And there was one dude, there was a cop that was fat as fuck. And he had the biggest
horse?
Yeah. And he had the biggest horse. His horse was fucking massive. And
the horse looked tired as hell.
And he was on the end, and you had to walk around to get into VIP. You had to walk around him to get to the stands. So me and my son are walking around him, and he kind of loses control of the horse because there's like a huge uproar in the audience behind him. So it kind of spooks the horse. And this horse starts fucking like stammering and like making noises and like trying to like get the cop off him and screaming and stuff. Dude, one of those horses gets loose on like a mall and starts running around. That thing would kill 50 people without any problem.
If like, you bring your horse into a mall, you're an asshole.
Dude, they're so much bigger than you realize when you're like face to face with them. Like, remember that fucking bullshit horse that we were feeding in Ireland that was just like a peasant farm horse?
Yeah,
like, that's a big animal, but like, you and I versus that horse, like, we might be able to trip it or something. Like,
yeah,
a real badass big rodeo horse. It's like, dude,
yeah,
that thing could kill a lion.
I always thought it was funny to see cops on horses, because then it's like, how do you take someone to jail? You know, how do you arrest them? Like, do you have to put them up on the saddle?
You lay them.
Like it's the Wild West.
You lay them
like a blanket
horizontally. Yeah. Across the back, and then when they mouth off, you turn around, you smack them in the ass. Quiet down now, and then you.
That's hot.
And then you do a little gallop.
I kind of want to get arrested like that. That sounds good. Imagine like an AOC looking lady cop arrests you, tosses you over the back of a horse.
She's too bug eyed for me, man. She's not that hot to me.
But she's a politician, and that's exactly the choice she made. She was like, "Well, I'm too average looking to be an actress. So instead, what I'll do is I'll go into politics, and then I'll be a hot politician." Because at the end of the day, every woman, like, they don't actually care about their career. They just want to be considered hot. So they just get into a career where they can be the hottest person in that career.
Okay, so how about this? Same person. You banging AOC or Susie Colbert?
Who's Susie Colbert?
Susie Colbert, very famous.
Media. Kissing Susie Colbert, the old sports broadcaster?
Yes. Or AOC.
Oh, AOC all day. Susie Colbert's like 75 years old now.
Yeah, but I'm saying make it, you know, make him the same age.
Make it competitive, dude. Make it Aaron Andrews.
No, Aaron Andrews, that's a blowout win for Aaron Andrews.
Yeah.
Aaron Andrews, I love.
AOC or Dan Orlovsky.
God, Dan Orlovsky's a hot little twink, isn't he?
He is, dude. You talking about putting a guy in a wig? I mean, god damn, Dan.
I honestly love, though, when Aaron Andrews has to interview Aaron Rodgers after games.
I'm gonna miss that part of the NFL.
There's just like so much teeth gritting.
So much sexual tension. Do you remember during his 2014 MVP run? It was the season he broke up with her, and they won like five straight games at the end. They were about to be kicked out of the playoffs, and they went on like this tear. And so Fox flexed them to be the main game every single week. And every time Aaron had to like go up and interview Aaron Rodgers, and she would just be like staring at him like, you know what I mean? Like, just like, God, I want to suck you again. And he's just got that fucking cute little ayahuasca grin on his face.
He's kind of losing his mind, though. He like Aaron, and I defend Aaron to the death, but
what's he talking about right now?
He said some weird stuff about Fauci. He's like trying to have like a debate with Fauci, and then he's gotten like crazy UFO content too lately.
He's always been a crazy UFO guy, though.
But I think what he does is
finding out about that, but he's been doing that forever.
Yeah, and he's a smart guy. I'm not saying he's like a dumb. He has no place to answer stuff. It's just like sometimes it's like, hey, you know, maybe just wait until you're done playing football.
Also, we talk about women trying to be the hottest person at their professions. He's doing the exact same thing, but being the smartest person at his profession.
Yeah.
So he's like in this echo chamber where like all of the other quarterbacks are like Peyton Manning. They have no interest outside of football. And then he's like, oh, I've read a couple books. So therefore
I'm the smartest person that
I know. And like Jimmy Kimmel had a good point. He was just like, hey, dude, Is this really this is your lane? This is like, you got enough time to be good at this? And Aaron's like, you're a pedophile. <You know? laughs> Which is so funny, dude. It's very funny. And
also, you said something there about Peyton Manning. Let's not make any mistake. If Peyton cared
Peyton, theoretical physics, he'd be the greatest
theoretical physicist that's ever lived.
Yeah. Now, well, that's why I didn't use Andrew Luck. It's because Andrew Luck is actually, he's that smart and he applies it to other things.
Yeah, that's what he is.
Like, Peyton's like that level of smart, but he doesn't apply it to anything else and he doesn't really care. But like, you're telling Aaron Rodgers is not smarter than Andrew Luck.
I mean, we've talked about this so many times, but just watching Peyton and Eli do Monday Night Football, and Eli's like, you can tell Eli's trying to have a good time. He's just trying to watch the game with his brother and whoever the guest is. Peyton is like fucking so worked up. He's so like, God damn it, run the cover two beater. They're clearly in cover two here.
And he's putting a helmet on in the middle of the broadcast. He's multiple broadcasts where he's put a helmet on that doesn't fit, by the way, because he's got a head the size of a goddamn Toyota Tacoma. And so he's trying to stuff a helmet over it.
He can't watch.
You
want to
talk about circumcision? I mean, you talk about a head that's too big for its shell. That's Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning's an uncircumcised man.
He's a real hermit crab in there. Yeah. He can't just relax.
The other end.
But I love that. I love that he can't.
He can't turn it off.
That he can't turn it off. That he can't focus. That he can't focus on something else. Like you got to imagine. Like imagine Peyton trying to figure out something difficult. And then the clock.
You mean like Israel Palestine?
Yeah, sure. He's trying to figure out the best way to navigate Israel Palestine, and
you put a 24-second clock on
the sand timer that you've turned over until cover six leaks back into his brain, and he has to completely abandon thinking about Israel Palestine. Yeah.
It probably is a lot like how he calls plays at the line of scrimmage. I like the first 15 seconds is him making shit up. You know how funny you saw Peyton Manning go to the line of scrimmage and they mic'd audio him, and instead of screaming Omaha, he's just like 30,000 civilians dead in Gaza. 30,000 dead in Gaza. The West Bank is being occupied. And then the last 10 seconds it clicks back on and he's doing football again.
Fucking A. By the way, is that's kind of petered out, hasn't it?
I don't know. I just saw Seinfeld talking about it, and he was like, "What's the deal with Gaza?" So if he's talking about it, I guess it's pretty much over.
I saw Ryan Garcia when he beat Devin Haye this weekend. He donated $20 million to
$20 million
to Gaza, and Andrew Tate matched him.
$20 million. I don't think either of those people have $20 million.
I don't know how money works anymore, because
Andrew Tate shouldn't have $20 million.
Oh well, he's been fighting legal fees for like 4 years. I mean, I don't know how he would have that much money.
Yeah, how does he have any money at all?
He should.
I think that's something you can just say. I think when someone, because I did that when I was,
I match.
Yeah, dude, this was so fucking funny. When Serena and I first got back together, we were just like talking about Israel Palestine. That was just like happening. And she was like, she's like, "Oh, this is how much I donated." And then I was like, "Okay, well, I donated too." And then she was like, "No, you did." I sent her the receipt and she was like, "I donated more money." And I was like, "Dude, you are a piece of shit, dude. That is fucking lot." Like, so then I just was like, "Oh, yeah, well, I just matched your donation." That's just something you can say now. Like, no one can prove it. You can just be like, "Yeah, I match your."
I should start using that, to be honest.
Yeah, like whatever somebody says that they donated to, you just be like, "I match your donation."
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think that it's kind of lost steam. Like, Ukraine just recently got that bill passed for more aid from us, and it seems like they just have them. They kind of like
here. I was thinking maybe the price of eggs wouldn't be $6 per 12 count.
Trader Joe's $2.99 eggs.
That's still too much. I remember when eggs were 99 cents.
Okay, dude. I remember when I felt joy. I mean, what do you want me to?
You're right. It is all gone.
Move on. I mean,
we do need to move on. We need to move over to the Bitcoin standard.
No.
Listen. I was talking a lot of shit about Bitcoin specifically on this podcast. That's one part. That's part of the problem of broadcasting for the last 4 years is pretty much anyone can find an opinion that I've had on something and say that I was making it up. And that's true. I do change my mind about just about everything every day. But Bitcoin, I had a Bitcoin bro give me like a breakdown of Bitcoin. Regardless of if it works as a financial system, it is one of the most interesting stories ever created.
Do you know what I've heard conspiracy wise about Bitcoin?
That the CIA created it?
I've heard that. I've also heard the biggest Bitcoin whale is Vladimir Putin.
Well, did you see that there is one account? Because everybody can see the transactions. There's one account that has 1 million Bitcoins, and they've been holding that Bitcoin since 2010. They've been holding that million Bitcoin, right?
And they've been a trillionaire.
They've never sold it. It is now worth $60 billion, which would make him the richest person in the world, and nothing has moved in the account, so he might be dead. But they think it's Satoshi Nakamura or whatever the fuck that guy's name is. You think he created Bitcoin?
Or it's like, no, he didn't create it, but I think he got invested in really early, and I think he's like one of the biggest whales, and I think that that's a lot of the way that he moves money around.
Someone has to find out. I don't think they have to do that. I think they can just use their own Russian currency. I think
they move money
around by selling stuff to Saudi Arabia.
Well, they do, but what I mean is like they use the ruble, but like I'm saying to move money around without people knowing.
Why would you need to do that? He owns the entire Russian government. If people are like, "You gave money to this person," he can just go.
He's making trade deals with countries that the EU and the US
sanctions
don't want him making trade deals with, to avoid sanctions, to sell military.
He's already doing that though. They literally every day going through the. They have a video of it. There's like a tracker of it every day going through the Strait of the Suez Canal. There'll be these giant oil tankers with no markings on them. They have no markings on them. And those are just the Russian ships. And they're like, "No, we're not." And they're like, "We can see them." And they're like, "No, I don't know whose boats those are. They don't have a Russian flag."
You're eating borscht. Like we're watching you.
You guys have gymnasts doing backflips up there. And all of the sailors are practicing their blast doubles.
I mean, I don't know. I thought that there was going to be more of a like a hit back for Iran's little stunt that they pulled on Israel. But it seemed like, which kind of scares me, that there wasn't an immediate hit back.
It seems like a big one.
Yeah, it seems like Israel just kind of like moved out of the way of the punch and then took a step back and was like, okay, all right, okay.
I think they bombed a consulate somewhere, and I believe
beforehand.
That's it was beforehand, that consulate that they bombed, that they said was one of the soldiers. Oh, okay.
They killed like two high-ranking Iranian military officials.
IRF guys.
Yeah, and then this was in response, and then Israel just basically, like, punch came. They moved out of the way of the punch. And then now Israel's kind of just like, well, do we get to punch now, or do you want to throw another one, or what's next? I don't like the ships in the Mediterranean either, because that feels like one lucky shot away from just full-blown fire and brimstone.
Yeah, I mean, if the Houthis, like, because I don't know how they would get to attack an American ship, but, like, maybe if they built, like, a really large catapult and then launched like, a very skinny man, like, that's, like, their version of ballistic missiles. They build, like, really big catapults.
Their version of ballistic missiles is a ballista.
What are those things called? The scorpions? They're just like really big crossbows.
Yeah, it's a ballista.
Yeah, and you just shoot him into the air.
Or a trebuchet.
You just see him hit the side like thunk.
I honestly don't even think they have the tech for a trebuchet.
Yeah, probably not.
Like, that's too much.
They're still doing lances.
That's too much engineering.
Yeah, I don't know. They say the Houthis got like these.
They're like ripping, fly around. They're like ripping atlatls from the beach.
They just have drones they can't turn on.
And it's like
sitting there,
a bunch of gay fucking U.S. servicemen on the boat, fucking just mooning them and making out
and sucking each other's cocks and be like, "This is how powerful America is. Our gayest soldiers will defeat you."
That's gonna be another thing that happens, dude. We're just gonna have like a majority gay army.
I've been joking about that on stage. I've been talking about how, like, you know, all the commercials when I was a kid were like the army kicking doors open. You know, they had like night vision goggles. It was like super cool. And now all of the commercials are just like a Black Hawk helicopter and then a pride flag hanging from the Black Hawk helicopter. And then you're sitting there like, okay, so that means somebody in the Pentagon looked at the war in Iraq and goes, oh, that was the problem. It wasn't gay enough. We weren't doing enough gay stuff.
Yeah, they love it.
But that is, I mean, if you're thinking about it from our enemy's point of view, if you were an Islamic radical terrorist, that is what you fear the most, is drag queens.
It's just like a wave of drag queens with M16s.
If they did drag brunch at Abu Ghraib, like, instead of like hooking your nuts up to, like,
that's way worse than getting whacked in your feet really hard. Yeah,
yeah. Hooking your nuts up to a car battery? No, way too much, dude. You just send in like fucking 30 drag queens to read the Quran, to do like drag queen story hour with the Quran.
To read a fucking like repurposed, redesigned version of the Quran where they're all gay.
Where Muhammad has like 9 dicks in his ass the entire time.
Yeah. I didn't even think I was going to say his name, but I didn't even say it because I don't even think you're allowed to do that.
I said it on stage. I was like talking about it on stage and I was like, you know, I think Islam doesn't like
off in the back.
Dude, well, there was a Muslim dude sitting in the front row and it scared the shit out of me. I was like afraid to say Muhammad, but then I finished the joke. I was just like, I think that's why the Muslims don't like trans the most out of any religion, is because like they're the easiest to get tricked by a drag queen, you know, because of the hijab, you know, you don't know. So they got to have really stiff consequences, because once you get married, there's no divorce. So you imagine pulling the hijab off and it's like, surprise, cock and balls. And you're like,
that is crazy that you never even see like your wife's skin.
Yeah. And then the Muslim guy laughed and I was like, am I allowed to do that joke? And he gave me like this like sign of peace. He's like, I love that joke. And I was like, all right, fuck yeah. We can keep that.
I feel like that's like kind of how to like tear fundamentalist Orthodox Islam apart. It's just, it's, you just let,
why would we want to?
You just let stand-up comics go and perform for long enough.
That's what Andrew Schultz is doing. Andrew Schultz is like literally the UAE's national.
Yeah, but you send funny ones, not marketing departments. You send you send Louis C.K. to go do stand up in Bahrain. They got not after day three, they have no way to fight back against Louis C.K. Yeah. He's like fully demolished every fucking belief they have.
Yeah,
like that's what I think. That might be the path. No, we just send Sebastian Maniscalco over, and he's just like, "Aren't you embarrassed?
You women,
arrive, and they smell like shit."
They don't smell, dude. You gotta stop saying stuff about other cultures smelling bad.
It's hot, and they wear a lot of clothes. I'm sure they smell great.
Oh my god, dude! And they got full bushes too. Actually, that's not true. I've been with a few of the of our fellow people of the book, and
that's good inclusive language. That's nice.
Yeah, they keep it as clean as just about anybody, I think. They're big on that.
Wouldn't know and don't care to find out.
No, dude, you gotta bring in the Muslims, man. I'm telling you, that's the next like real political block that's gonna be unstoppable is white trash Irish, black conservative, Mexican redneck, fundamentalist Muslims. Like it's that block versus everyone else.
That's what like the liberals don't understand is like those people
have way more in common.
More in common than they do differences.
So much more. Dude, I was hanging out with this girl who is a prison reform activist. She came here from prison reform, but she's from Seattle. So very passive aggressive, puritanical, thinks they know more than us about our own culture. And she's seeing all the kids in like DC riding four wheelers and stuff. And she's like, that's dangerous. And I'm like, hey. Do not come here and start trying to change stuff. Cause like she's like, you know, that's really scary. I'm like, dude, if you go to Stafford, my nephew's doing the exact same thing right now on four wheelers driving through the center of the road. That's not like not like a city person thing. You're just in the South now. Okay. People are going to be riding four wheelers, like Mexican, black, white, does not matter. People are going to be riding four wheelers and they're going to be talking on speakerphone out loud. And you're just going to have to get used to that. You can't like, be like, but like fundamentally she's very liberal, but then she sees something that's not, you know, hall monitor-ish, and she has to just immediately like liberal hall monitor that behavior.
Yeah, they can't help themselves.
They can't. All right, let's do Smedley Butler and then let's get out of here.
All right. I got some Smedley Butler quotes. Well, should we tell the audience who he was?
I got some stuff on it, but if you want to start the breakdown, go ahead. Where do you want to start?
He was a corporatist who tried to overthrow FDR.
He was not a corporatist who tried to overthrow FDR. This is going to be the problem with this podcast. It's going to be complete misinformation. Smedley Butler was a Marine who was the highest decorated Marine at the time of his death.
Okay, what was he trying to? He tried to run a coup on FDR.
He didn't try to run a coup. They approached him about doing a coup, and he alerted the authorities that they were trying to do a coup.
He snitched.
J.P. Morgan and Irene DuPont tried to organize a coup to overthrow FDR because FDR wanted to do an income tax, and they were like, "Fuck that!" And so they had seen the Hitler movement, the Nazi movement, and the fascist movement in Italy. And the Franco movement in Spain, and they were like, why don't we do that here? And so they tried to hire a bunch of people using the not the French Foreign Legion, but the hold on, let me find it.
You know, one of his big things was he thought that only people, this kind of goes to
who's this, Smedley Butler?
Yeah, he thought that only people that served in the armed forces should have the right to vote.
I kind of stand by that. Now, that there is something that kind of annoys me about that, where it's like people, and I understand this, but there is like a little piece where like people in the military will like think they have more of a right to the country than you do.
If they served?
Yeah, if they served. They're like, well, why are you talking about it? You didn't even serve. And you're like, all right, well, that's not how this works.
Yeah, but like, yeah, because beyond service is like how much of the tax base are you contributing to?
Is it none of it? I don't even think they get taxed. Do they get taxed?
But that's what I'm saying. It's a big one. It's like if I contributed fucking $200,000 to the tax base and you contributed $10,000, which you served, and by served, you just cooked bad meals for other dudes. Like,
yeah.
You shouldn't fucking talk shit to me.
It's dudes in the Coast Guard being like, I served, and you're like, nah,
yeah,
sort of.
Yeah.
But it was the American Legion. They were using the American Legion, which was like foreign troops coming back, or not troops who served in foreign countries who came back from World War One and were just drinking and hanging out at bars, and they would go there and try to recruit them to be a part of this thing.
Yeah.
I didn't know this about him, but he had been in like every war. He was in the Spanish-American War. He was in the war in the Philippines. And then there was this whole thing called the Banana Wars, which if you want to learn about that, go listen to two podcasts ago, Bob Dole's Banana Cream Pie. Basically, the United Fruit Company was just using the Marine Corps.
Trying to overthrow the government.
They did. They overthrew like all of the governments of like Guatemala.
Anyone who could grow fruit in Central America and Northern South America.
Pretty sick, to be honest. Which is very funny that like people are surprised when we do shit now, like throughout the world. It's like, dude, we have killed millions of people for bananas.
Yeah.
You don't think you have oil? You don't think we're going to come knocking for that?
It's just we'll making kill you for a
fucking banana.
However we can make a buck, it doesn't really matter. It's
funny that it's a banana. You imagine thinking you're a country in South America and you're like, oh, well, we don't have anything the U.S. government would want. And we're like, oh, no. You know those delicious sweet treats that grow on trees?
Do you know how much we like banana bread down here in Texas? Do you have any idea?
You know how many people are about to die so that we can eat a banana? We're going to destabilize the entire region to eat a banana. That's
pretty much.
Okay, where were the Smedley Butler quotes? I think that covers who he was.
Beautiful ideals were painted for our boys who were sent out to die. This was the war to end wars. This was the war to make the world safe for democracy. No one told them that dollars and cents were the real reason. No one mentioned to them as they marched away that they're going to die, and that would mean huge profits for the older men that sent them. No one told these American soldiers that they might be shot down by bullets by their own brothers. No one told them that ships on which they were going to cross might be torpedoed by submarines built with United States hands. They were just told to go down and have the glorious adventure of their lives.
That is a pretty good way to sell it. If I was going to sell a war, that is how I would sell it to the troops. I'd be like, it is going to be so cool. Okay. We are going to have an absolute blast over there.
The only way.
You ever been in a helicopter?
The only way to smash the racket of war is to conscript capital and industry before a nation's labor and manhood can be conscripted.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of a bummer for, like, I think everything kind of eventually degenerates into communism a little bit. You know what I mean? Like it makes it hard to make an argument against it. You know what I mean? Because like no matter what, all of your shit keeps getting conscripted. Here, he had one. This is what he wrote to his parents when he was in Central America. He was in Nicaragua enforcing US policy. And he said, "What makes me mad is the whole revolution is inspired and financed by Americans who have wildcat investments down here and want to make them good by putting in a government which will declare a monopoly in their favor. This whole business is rotten to its core."
Yeah. All of this shit is still how we operate.
That's like, what, that is the saddest part.
Yeah, like this one.
This is 100 years ago.
I spent most of my 33 years in the Marine Corps being a high-class muscle man for big business, for Wall Street, and for the bankers. In short, I was a racketeer, a gangster for crony capitalism.
It just
fucking A, man.
I mean, it just doesn't change.
That almost makes me wish he did win his coup and overthrew FDR a little.
Yeah.
Maybe things are different for at least a couple minutes.
Well, that was one of the articles I was reading about it was which was, it was coming from The Guardian, and it was talking about how so this became a congressional committee. They investigated it, and they came to the conclusion that he was telling the truth and that DuPont and J.P. Morgan had tried to overthrow the government, and then there was no punishments for it. They didn't even talk about it in the news. It's the same thing with the church committee, where the church committee, they just wait for people to forget about this shit. Because, like, the church committee comes out and says, completely conclusively, there was a committee or a conspiracy to kill MLK and JFK. Mm-hmm. And then that's in, like, 1975. And then by 1990, that's a conspiracy view. Talking about it. It was one guy. It's like, everybody knew it was a group.
They just build a narrative. Yeah. It's crazy how it takes like one generation to wash out things that it's commonplace knowledge. Like, dude, they washed out that, you know, like honey, onions, and garlic is how you make cough syrup naturally.
Yeah. Yeah.
No one knows that at all.
Yeah. Well, because they separate you from their grandparents. Tell you that your grandparents are racist, and then they make you move away from your grandparents because there's only four cities that make money in the country. So then, like, my New Orleans grandparents, you don't see them. You don't see these people down in Mobile, Alabama. And you know what? Probably fair. They might be racist. They might have been a little bit, you know. But then it's like they also have a bunch of knowledge about how to, like, raise kids and all of this shit. And we have an entire country because it's so big, like geographically, that's divorced from any sort of knowledge, tribal. You know what
they
knowledge.
Have a lot of? They have a lot of independence and self-sufficiency.
Yeah.
Which is what you don't want the population to have.
Yeah. So it's actually the last thing you want them to have.
You want nipple suckers across the board.
Yeah, you want learned helplessness so that they turn to you for every single thing.
So fucking dark.
Yeah. And being in the military is kind of an extension of that, because you are, at the end of the day, you are just kind of a government servant. Like, there's not that much difference between the lady at the DMV and, you know, a guy who went to Fallujah.
Okay, we should end there. Just to fucking let the rage build for a week.
Shout out to the boys serving over in Germany. You know we're fucking kidding, dude. We love you guys. And we're completely okay. Thank you for protecting our rights to
just
have.
Just know you're over there because you couldn't make open field tackles. That's all I'll say.
And we're happy that you are over there, because iPhones are way too cheap considering the amount of technology that goes into them. And we know that can only be done if you enforce slave labor. So make sure that Russia cannot and will not start to become a global superpower based on the amount of oil that they can produce, and make sure that they remain a second power superpower so that we can always enjoy our high standard of living here in America.
Black helicopters.
And by protect our freedoms, we mean our freedom to buy bread for $1.
Yeah, well, everybody fucking go out there and have a nice fucking day.